powerful, and God is here. Hosanna in the highest. Let me read to you from Matthew today, Matthew chapter 21. And it says, the disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him, that followed him, were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, who is this? And the crowd said, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. Church, let me just remind you this morning, maybe announce for the first time, our King has arrived. Our King has arrived, and he has come through the gates, and he is seated on a donkey, and all of the crowds are celebrating. This is the Messiah. This is the King. This is the one who is worthy to be praised. And this morning we echo those same thoughts. Not only is he the Messiah, not only is he the prophesied one, but Jesus is the King of Kings. One of my favorite things about Holy Week, as we begin this endeavor today on Palm Sunday, one of my favorite things about Holy Week is identifying Jesus as King. And reminding ourselves that Jesus as King doesn't necessarily look the same way that we would think a king should look. Jesus as King establishes the entire kingdom of God in its proper place for us. When you think of king, when you think of a leader, when you think of someone who has the utmost power, and then you think of Jesus, many times the characteristics of what we think a king looks like, of maybe even how other kings have shown themselves or other leaders have shown themselves, and then you place Jesus in the exact same place, it tends to bring polar opposite comparisons. Generally, when we think of king, we think of great riches. We think of power and authority. We think of extravagance and the ability to lay out rules and laws and duty. And we can think of privilege, and we can think of just heights that are unreachable. And yet when you look at Jesus, especially during Holy Week, as Pastor Terry shared with us already this morning, that Jesus kind of engages finally in who it is that he has been revealing himself to be. Even though not fully announcing it, it has been clear that Jesus is set apart. In his three-year ministry that has led up unto this point, it is clear that God is doing something special in this individual. Now Jesus is hearing all of these cries of Hosanna, 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 and he not only allows them to say it, but responds to those Pharisees who would say, make them be quiet, and he says, no, it is time. As he continues on through this Holy Week, he not only challenges our understanding of what a king truly is, but he challenges the understanding of even those who today, as he's entering in on the donkey, would shout, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Jesus is a king that doesn't look like any other king. Spoiler alert, as you fast forward to Friday, Jesus is the type of king who goes himself to be the sacrifice for the land. He doesn't appoint others to stand in his stead. He doesn't look and make up ways that maybe the problem can be solved. Jesus steps fully and passionately into that place for each and every one of us. Church, this is our King. The song that we sang today, this is the one who sets me free. This is the one who alleviates me from all of the penalty of death. This is the one who has taken my sins upon himself, has taken my shame upon himself. Church, this is our King. What? What type of king bears all of the weight and all of the sin and all of the shame for the people? There is no king like Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 to 10. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Hallelujah. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. This is our King. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to. But you are a chosen race, church, a royal priesthood, church, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Not only is Jesus a king that doesn't look like any other king, but church, we are a part of a kingdom that doesn't look like any other kingdom. Hallelujah. Don't you love what it is that Peter expresses in these words as we've already gone through it as a part of Heartstrong, but as you continue to journey through Peter's own story and rewind and fast forward through the incredible story that is the gospel and the New Testament, Peter is standing in this place on Palm Sunday, recognizing that Jesus is the Messiah. Hosanna, Hosanna. He's crying out with the crowd. He walks through Holy Week with Jesus. He goes and he's present on the day of the cross, not at the cross, but he's present. We'll get there shortly. He's one of the first to make it to the tomb, although not the first, which is also recorded in the Gospels. But even as Jesus ascends into heaven, Peter writes these words as he himself, as a disciple who is wrestling through the reality of what Jesus is doing. See, even the people who are crying out, Hosanna, the Jews that are present in Jerusalem, they are believing that Jesus is now going to do what they always wanted him to do. He's going to set the nation of Israel up to its proper place once again. He's going to defeat the Roman captives. He's going to set them free. He's going to do all the things that the Pharisees have been promising, that if they could just live one perfect day without sin, Jesus is going to come and he is going to make them a great nation again. Peter identifies here in 2 Peter exactly what it was that Jesus was actually proclaiming as he walked through those gates. Church, he is a king that doesn't look like other kings, and we are part of a kingdom that doesn't look like other kingdoms. Hallelujah. One of my favorite things about the gospel story is that Jesus wasn't coming just for Israel. Amen. Jesus wasn't coming just for one people. But as we read so often in John 3:16, Jesus was coming to set the world free. We are here today, gathered from all over the world, from all over this fantastic globe, but we identify with one nation. It's not Canada, and it's not North America. We identify with one nation, with one priesthood. We are a holy nation, a chosen race under Jesus Christ himself. We are a part of God's created people. We are the human race, falling on our face before a king who doesn't look like any other king or any other prime minister or any other president. Hallelujah. Jesus is King of Kings, and he sets and he models a form of leadership that doesn't look like anything else. And church, if Jesus is not truly king, then Easter is not an authoritative story. If we don't understand the kingdom of Jesus today, then we don't live from that right story. And if we don't live from the right story, come on, we make it harder for the world to properly see Jesus. This is why we journey through Heartstrong together as a church. This is why we wrestle through Scripture, not just alone, but collectively, because it is important. Come on, somebody, write this down. It is important that we have a full understanding of Jesus for those who don't know him yet. Church, you've probably heard it said before, and I'll say it again. What if you are the only Jesus that anyone gets to see? Then how important is it that we actually represent him properly? Hosanna, Hosanna, glory in the highest, the King of all kings. And yet during Holy Week, Jesus will immediately begin to change their expectations of what it is that is yet to come. If you aren't following us on social media, I encourage you to do that. Pastors and staff from across all Life Center have recorded these incredible Holy Week videos that will help and aid you as you're journeying through Scripture yourself this week. And it's just an incredible opportunity for us to see what Holy Week actually looks like. As they're expecting Messiah who will come and relieve them from all their oppression, Jesus walks into the temple and starts flipping tables. And the people are like, whoa, wait a second. Aren't you supposed to deal with the Romans? But who is it that the Messiah truly came to deal with? An improper representation within the church. Come on. This is what Jesus came to deal with. Church, you'll see it as you rewind in Jesus' 3 years of ministry, that as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, as a representation of who the Father actually wanted to reach, he has mercy, he has grace, he has patience, he has time for those who don't fully understand who the Father is. And a lot of times, a lot of the places where he gets upset, a lot of the places where he flips tables, a lot of the places where he starts to call sin is within the represented church of the time. The Messiah walks in and says, listen, I know that you've heard of my Father, but you don't know my Father. I know that the words of the Torah, I know that the Old Testament has touched your mind, but you have stopped so short of allowing it to touch your heart. Even Peter, as he journeys with Jesus and sees and bears witness to the crucifixion and the resurrection, even he is challenged by the Lord later on in his own story. The only reason he's able to write what it is that he writes in 1 Peter chapter 2 is because the Lord continued to challenge his heart. A reminder that the cross is not for us, but it's for the world. It's for all of those that God, even this day, continues to breathe his life into. Church, as we celebrate this morning, our King who breaks down all barriers and all walls, as we celebrate this morning, a King who has truly set us free, let us also draw deeper into the story and ask the Lord, how can we show people who don't know you yet who you truly are? Because that's what Jesus was about to do on the cross. Hello? If Jesus is not seen as king, then we lose the authoritative portion of this story. Church, this is not just a fun story to tell. This is a story that changes the world. This is not just a fun story to tell. This is a story that reveals where true power and true authority actually lie. This is a story of the revelation of all of the Old Testament, of all that will come in the New Testament, of all that has played out ever since. There is only one throne. There is only one place. There is only one kingdom where true authority and power lies, and it sits at the feet of Jesus. King Jesus has now set his mind to his purpose. For years, he has gone about his ministry. Now in Luke chapter 9, 53, we see that his face was finally set to Jerusalem. Jesus knew what it was that he had come to do, and he lived those 2.5, 3 years of ministry, pointing people constantly towards who the Father is. But now we have come to the climax of the story. And aren't you so thankful that Jesus was unwavering and who it is that he was called to be, and to where it was that he was called to serve. In Mark chapter 10, verses 45, we see the reminder that Jesus as king was called to serve, that Jesus was called to serve, not to be served. Jesus is unwavering in this kingly posture. In church, we are called to do the same. This week, as we fast approach the crucifixion in John chapter 13, verses 12 to 17, we'll read this incredibly challenging story of what Jesus' kingship actually looks like. It says this: when he had washed their feet and put on his outer garment and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Let's pray this morning. God, set this reminder in our lives today. That God, we as individuals, but also collectively as a church, have been called to serve this city. We have been called to serve the people that you have placed here in Kanata. God, we have not been called to be served. And Lord, just as you did, Lord God, we sacrifice even our right to be right, Lord Jesus, in those places where you have called us to simply show who your son is. And so, God, in all aspects of our lives, whether it be at work, in our families, in our marriages, Lord, even as parents and young people this morning, Lord, I pray that this posture of servanthood would redefine kingship in our minds. God, set it in our hearts today on this Palm Sunday, a reminder that to be last in the kingdom of the Lord is to be first. And to fight and to strive for the same things that others who don't belong to your kingdom. God, to be first is to be last. And so, Lord Jesus, I pray that this idea of your kingdom and your kingship would settle in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Come on, let it be so. Amen. Right? I love it. Thank you, church. You all want to be last with me, right? So good. The disciples are challenged by Jesus as he finishes washing their feet. You know, it's really hard to look down on someone when you position yourself to wash their feet. But this is the king who we are called to model. To constantly position ourselves to say, not me, but Christ. I don't even have to be right in this moment as long as the heartbeat of the gospel is getting through. Amen? Oh, easy to say, harder to do. Hallelujah. But this is why we're here on Palm Sunday. It's the same thing that the disciples had to challenge themselves with as they thought that they knew even who it was that they were following. And yet, where were they at the crucifixion? Church, this is important for us to wrestle through. It's been 2,000 years since Jesus got down and washed the feet of the disciples, and still to this day, it makes us a little uncomfortable, doesn't it? This idea that following Jesus, the greatest king that the world has ever seen, will not establish you power and authority and all the riches and all the glory that we truly want on this side of eternity. But following the Lord does something different, doesn't it? Why was it that these individuals who are bearing witness to Holy Week, who will watch as their Messiah, as the King is sacrificed on the cross and resurrected on 3 days, why then do they get drastically transformed by not only the revelation of the Holy Spirit, but how much they allow the story of Jesus to touch their hearts? Why does this take place? Because true power and true authority actually rests in the kingdom of God. And it is better for us to be less so that Jesus can be more. Church, it is better for you in your workplace and in your neighborhood and in every one of your relationships. It is better for you if people actually don't even know your name, but they know who it is that you serve. This is the glory that is found in the kingdom of the Lord. One of my favorite things that I've seen here done in the past at Life Center. I just love Life Center, by the way, if you haven't got that. Like, I love Jesus. I love my family. And then Life Center is changing my life, too. Like, it's so fun here. It's awesome. It's so good. You can write that down. Okay. Listen, it is awesome. One of my favorite things that I've seen here at Life Center is something that Pastor Barry and Pastor Joyce, our founders, have established. And I've seen Pastor Jason and Pastor Lori do it. And we've done it here. And we won't do it this morning, but just picture it today. It was this idea that as we stand, the question was, how many of you know your parents? If not, sit down. How many of you know your grandparents, if not, sit down? How many of you know your great-great-grandparents? Can I just get a hand of anyone here today that knows the names, the story of your great-great-grandparents? Good for you. That's a challenge for me. What about your great-great-great-great-great-great-great? Like, eventually, it comes to a point where you list enough greats and everybody sits down. And typically, on average, it's about 4 or 5 greats. But do you know whose name continues to be known today? Oh, come on. Come on. His name is Jesus. This is the kingdom that we're a part of. It's not just the legacy that we're setting up in our own families, because actually we belong to a greater family than whatever your last name is. Hallelujah. We belong to a family that is begun and is invited, each and every one of us adopted from wherever it is that we come from. Whatever our history is, at some point in time, you seated here today, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you chose to believe what it is that the Bible said about the one who hung on the cross and was resurrected on the 3 days. And from that day forward, you are not the same. You belong to a different kingdom. Jesus challenges his disciples that this is the posture of the kingdom of the Lord. A posture that would say, I will serve, not be served. Not only did Jesus wash the feet of all the disciples, he also washed the feet of one of his disciples whose name was Judas. Luke chapter 22, 3-6 says this, then Satan entered into Judas called Iscariot, who was of the number of the 12. He went away and conferred with the chief priests and officers how he might betray him to them, and they were glad and agreed to give him money. So he consented and sought an opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of a crowd. Church, isn't it so challenging as you read through those verses that Jesus has identified what it was that Judas would do, and yet also washed his feet? Today, I want to challenge you that we are a part of a kingdom who even pray for those that we don't necessarily enjoy or like or fill in the blank. The kingdom of the Lord prays for everyone. Who was it that Jesus got frustrated with? It was the Pharisees. It was the Sadducees. Who was it that Jesus took time and had grace and had mercy on? It was the tax collectors. It was the prostitutes. It was those that the church had cast aside. And Jesus said, what? They are made in the image of my Father. This is the kingdom that we are called to be a part of. Remember in Mark chapter 10, verses 45, Jesus said that the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. In John chapter 10, verses 18, Jesus said, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This charge I received from my Father. Between now and Friday, King Jesus, from a posture of humility, will do all of these things. He'll ride into and weep over the city of Jerusalem. He'll curse a fig tree because it isn't bearing fruit. He cares about creation bearing fruit. He delivered his Olivet discourse about the world at the end. He'll drive out the money changers. He'll flip over tables because he cares about how we worship. He'll wash the feet of the disciples. He'll tell Peter what he needs to hear, not what he wants to hear. He'll pray intently to the point of blood in Gethsemane. He'll be betrayed and arrested on false charges. He'll be lashed and beaten, stripped for our healing. He'll be nailed to a cross and die in our place to give us what we could never gain back. So when most people think about royalty and kings, doesn't Jesus present such a beautiful contrast? In every clash that Jesus has with the demonic, the 1/3 of the angels that fell from heaven, they recognize Jesus accurately, perfectly, and instantly. Not only that, but they obey him. So, What if Jesus shows humanity what kingship and royalty is supposed to truly look like? Because Jesus is not just a friend, amen? And not simply our Savior, he is our King. And because of that, Easter is not just a fun story. It is a story about a King who comes. It is a story about a King who in the same way will one day come again. The same King who fulfilled every Old Testament prophecy is the same King coming, resurrected, our King, who will make all things new. Or as the writer of Hebrew implores us this week, as we prayfully go through Holy Week, and we invite you to follow us and share with us and engage in this. This is what the author of Hebrews writes in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Church, this is our King. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Hallelujah. What does this mean for us? Well, it's a reminder. It's a reminder of who it is that we are called to imitate. As we recognize that Jesus is who he says that he is, then we enter into this process called sanctification, where each and every day our goal and our desire is to look more like Jesus. But as we go about this journey, can we here in Kanata and across Life Center, can we agree that that journey is not just about hungering and thirsting for the ability to pray and see miracles? Hello? Looking more like Jesus is not about asking God for those moments where we can walk on water. Looking more like Jesus is not simply believing for God that one day we're going to get to that third day and the stone will be rolled away. Looking more like Jesus means that we as believers take on the full identity of who our King is. And he came to serve and not to be served. He lived from a place of humility. He is the King of Kings and doesn't look anything like any other king. And so, church, as we continue to hunger and thirst for God's name to be known across Ottawa, then may we also hunger and thirst that this place and this collection of people, let it not look like anything but our Savior. So let's wash each other's feet. Symbolically, of course, but church, sometimes for real. Let's position ourselves to be humble. Let's challenge each and every one to hunger after the things that are holy, to properly represent who the Father is, to not just know all the things that are found in the Word of God, but to truly allow those things to sit in our hearts and refresh us. Let's remember that there is nothing that we can do to inherit the kingdom of the Lord. Good people are great, but good people are not God's people. Hello? The only way to belong to this incredible kingdom is to identify that Jesus is who he says that he is. Not only has he come riding in on a donkey, but he has come to do something that the world desperately needed. Aren't you so thankful today that on Palm Sunday that we celebrate a king who didn't come to overthrow Rome by the way of the sword? Aren't you thankful today that we celebrate a king who didn't come to give all the people what it was that they thought that they needed, but instead we celebrate a king who came to actually deal with the root of the problem, and that is our pride and our selfishness and our desire to be king. Aren't you thankful today that we serve a God who looked down and said, they can't do it, so I will go. This is our King. This is our God. Why does Jesus say that he's come to serve and not to be served? Because this is the position that God, triune, three in one, has taken from the beginning of time to the point that we stand here today till forevermore. Jesus reveals who the Father truly is. Our God sits on a throne that doesn't look like any other throne. A throne of mercy, a throne of grace, a throne that is holy and just. And he alone, church, is worthy to be praised. So as everyone else this week will vie for your attention, will vie for your heart, will vie for all of your energy and your frustration, keep your heart on Jesus and allow him to speak into every situation. There is no king like our king. And there is no one seated in any position of power or authority on this side of eternity that actually sits on the throne. Jesus is king, full stop. The world just doesn't know it yet. But one day, every knee will confess. No, every knee will bow. There we go. You heard it. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you were like, keep going. But I heard it. I was like, wait, how do knees confess? They don't. Church, one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And the call on our lives, to the best of our ability, is to not allow what we want Jesus to be what it is that we portray, but to truly dig into Scripture and say, Jesus, it was a challenge to them then. It's still a challenge to us now. But this is where we fight. This is where we stand. Make us less so that your name can be more. God, don't let them see me. Let them see you. Church, aren't you so thankful? Those songs that we sang. One of the things that the Holy Spirit was speaking in this room is, there's so many times where I wish I was better than I actually am. But I'm thankful that I don't have to live in a fallacy of perfection. But that we can collectively go to the throne and say, Jesus, where I am not, you are. Maybe you're here this morning and you wish that you were that perfect parent that your kids truly deserve. Maybe you're here this morning, you wish you were that perfect neighbor, perfect teacher, perfect student, perfect husband, perfect wife, perfect fill in the blank. But aren't you so thankful that where we are not, he is. So in those places where you lack, step back and allow Jesus to move forward. Hosanna in the highest, King of kings and the Lord of lords. Church, aren't you thankful? Church, aren't you thankful that we can walk boldly from this place knowing that we don't have to have all the answers, that we don't have to have all the power, that we don't have to have all the riches, for what it is that Jesus came to solve was the root of the problem. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if he is your King, you're free. Free to serve, free to live, free to share his name as the only one who is more than enough. I'm going to invite Rhonda to come and close our service. Church, happy Palm Sunday. Have a fantastic Holy Week, and we'll see you on Good Friday.